All right, well, this morning we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit since I've been out sick for a week here, and I was going to start on the Apostle Paul, but we're going to do that starting next Sunday. But I want to teach on something. I think it's an issue that we see in the world and even in the church, and unfortunately I think it's an issue that I see a lot with the millennial generation, you know, dealing with them in youth groups and things like that. It just seems to be something that's part of that generation. I'm sure looking back, my dad looked at my generation and thought certain things too, you know. And I'm sure, you know, his dad, that's just kind of one of those things. But I think it's just one of those things that we've seen, especially here in the church. And I've done this teaching before, but I want to just go ahead and do it again because I think it's very important, especially when we're believers in Christ and we have a relationship with Him. You know, we're supposed to act a certain way, not because we have to, but because we want to. And so we're going to go ahead and touch on that, one of those things this morning. So let's go ahead and pray, and we'll get into the study. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this morning. Just thank you for everyone that's here. I just pray that our hearts be open to your word, and that your word would change not only our mind, but our hearts, and that, Lord, we'd have the attitude that you had when it comes to people, that we would love them as you love them. And we just lift this up in your name. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to teach on let your yes be yes and your no be no. I have a media shout verses on this too. So there's Jesus tells us in Matthew, and also James pretty much reiterates what Jesus said in the book of James. So we're going to look at those two passages. The first one's going to be Matthew chapter 5. Verse 33 through 37. So if you have your Bibles, if you don't have one, please grab a Bible over here. Megan will grab some for you. So we're starting in Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 37. And this is Jesus. He says, "Again, you have heard that it is said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair black or white. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one." So James now is going to basically take what Jesus said. He's going to reiterate this to us. You see things repeated in the Bible, it means we've got to really pay attention, because maybe it's because it's hard for us to get it. You know, so it's repeated. We're going to look at James chapter 5, verse 12. And James says, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." Some versions will have "lest you fall into hypocrisy." So what are James and Jesus talking about here? Well, first of all, back in those days, people would like take these oaths for everything. So they would say, "I swear by the temple I'm going to do this," or "I swear by this holy thing I'm going to do this," for just about everything. And it'd be like Eric giving me a call saying, "Hey, Tom, can you come over and, you know, help me with my car, you know, Saturday?" And I say, "By the holy halls of Christ Community of Calvary Christian Fellowship, I will be there." Now, you'd be like, that's pretty weird, isn't it? Right? I mean, we don't do that. But that's what people were actually kind of doing. They were kind of abusing this oath to the Lord kind of thing. Also, we've heard, if you watch movies and stuff, people will say, "I swear on my mother's grave." You know, that's kind of one that you hear a lot of saying. But what James and Jesus are telling us is here is we don't need to do that, and we shouldn't do that. Because as believers in Jesus and having a relationship with Him, a simple yes or no is going to be sufficient. Now, of course, there is going to be times when you're going to have to take an oath. If you're in the military, you got to take an oath, right? If you're a policeman, any kind of law enforcement, you're going to take an oath. If you're going to be in court, you're going to have to take an oath. You know, even, you know, politicians, you know, presidents, Supreme Court justices will take the oath of office to uphold and protect the Constitution. But what Jesus and James are talking about here is interpersonal relationships, like Eric and I. Like I said, Eric calling me up, "Hey, can you come over and take a look at my car or can you come over and help me with this? So that's what we're talking about here. But sometimes it seems so difficult for us to simply just say a simple yes and no. And I think it's because we kind of like when we kind of elaborate on it, because it kind of gives us a little vagueness that we can kind of weasel our way out of it somehow, because it's kind of this big, long, kind of vague thing. Unfortunately, we all tend to be wishy-washy and flaky. We put off making decisions while waiting for a better offer. And maybe you'll make a commitment, like Eric calls me up, says, hey, I'm having problems with my car. Can you come over Saturday? I said, sure, I'll be over Saturday, 1 o'clock. Okay. Friday, I get a call from my buddy. He's like, hey, a bunch of us are going to play Call of Duty Zombies Saturday afternoon. And I call Eric up and, sorry, dude, I'm not going to make it. Or I don't call him at all. I'm sure we've all been in that situation, right, where somebody just doesn't call at all. So we're not supposed to do that, of course. You know, if I make a commitment, I keep that commitment, even if I feel something better may come along or something more enjoyable, like playing Call of Duty Zombies with my buddies or something. But I think we've all been there where people just kind of bail on us. I think the other thing that we do is we make a commitment. We say yes to something, and then we find out that, wow, this thing's got a lot of challenges to it. There's a lot of obstacles to overcome. It's just too much, so then we just bail. You know, maybe it's a group thing. Could be a ministry, you know, high school ministry or some kind of other ministry within the church where you have to deal with people. Or it could be at work or school where you have to deal with, you know, be on a project with a group of people working towards something, and there's going to be people that are going to be difficult to work with. So we kind of use that as an excuse to kind of get out of our commitment. I think another way that we do that is we make a commitment and we kind of tell ourselves, hey, you know, we'll do this as long as it feels right. Thing is, the Bible never tells us to let our feelings lead us, right? Because our feelings can be deceptive. And let's take a look at this. So we're going to make a commitment as long as it feels right. How about we apply this to marriage? What do you think? We got a 50% divorce rate, even in the church, because people just don't feel the love anymore. They just don't feel it anymore. And so they bail. You know, when the honeymoon's over and it's not rainbow and unicorns in the marriage, they say, I just don't feel anymore. I don't feel like I love you, and they bail. And it's really a shame because, like I said, 50% of divorce rate in the church, too. How about a relationship with God if we went by our feelings? You know, there's times where I thought God was really close to me, and sometimes I felt like he was very far away. You know, sometimes I feel I was praying and my prayers were just bouncing off the ceiling. But God, you know, the Bible says that God is always there. So my feelings were being, you know, deceptive to me. And I could say, well, you know, I tried God, that Jesus thing, and it really wasn't for me. I just didn't really feel it. So I'm going to bail. The other thing, too, when we say yes to something, especially in a group thing like a ministry or project at work or something you're doing at your school, other people in that group are going to be depending on you to do your part. Like in a band. I'm in a band. Got, you know, Ian and Chris, good guys, good work ethic. But I've been in bands for 30 years, different bands, and how flaky people are when it comes to being in that, you know, people aren't doing the things that they needed to do. And it hurts the whole band as a whole. So if you have a group project with somebody or in a ministry, it hurts the whole group when people don't do, you know, their part. Like in a band situation, especially now because we all work full-time, we practice, you know, once or twice a week, it's important that people go home and do their homework, that they learn the music at home during the week. You know, we'll do recordings, they go home, they play, so it's kind of like you're still practicing with the band, but you need to do that. But I've been in bands where people don't do that, or they won't learn the cover songs if we're doing cover songs. You know, they just come in unprepared. They're just not doing their part, so it really affects the whole group. And this is where I think letting your yes be yes and your no be no gives us an opportunity as believers to stand out from the crowd and go against the flow of the world. Because remember, the world looks at us, you know, and unfortunately a lot of them think, you know, look at us as we have to be perfect. But the world is looking at us. And, when the world looks at us and we say yes to something, you know, it's a done deal. People need to know that it's a done deal. And people should know, not feel, that they can depend on us. And then think about a great witness that is for Christ. A lot of people look at our actions instead of things that we say. I think actions can speak a lot louder than words at this point. Proverbs 22, verse 1, tells us that a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. So think about that. A good name, a good reputation is to be chosen rather than great riches. And we can get that through keeping our commitments and letting our yes be yes and our no be no. Now, there's going to be some things here, too. You know, asking for wisdom. We should always ask God, prayer to God to ask him and seek his wisdom and guidance for certain things that we're going to make a commitment to. Now, let's look at my example with Eric. So Eric, calls me up. Hey, Eric, how's it going? Okay. And he says, hey, can you come over Saturday and help me, check out my car? It's doing this kind of weird thing, and it's not running right. And he says, I know you know a little bit about cars. Maybe we can kind of figure it out. And I say, well, Eric, I need to pray about that. Seems kind of weird, doesn't it? I mean, again, it just does seems kind of weird to do that in that kind of a context. But let's take it in a different context. Let's say I come up to Eric and I say, hey, Eric, you're a really talalented musician. You can play drums, you can play guitar, keyboards, you can sing. We'd really like to have you on the high school worship team. Now, one of the things I want to hear from Eric or somebody when you ask them about that kind of a commitment is, I'll pray about it. So Eric says, yeah, it sounds pretty good. Let me pray about it, and I'll get back to you. Okay, it's great. So next Sunday, I come up to Eric, and I say, so what do you think about being on the worship team? And he comes back and says, oh, I'll pray about it. Okay. We call this the millennial no. This is something that we've kind of nicknamed it the millennial no in a way, because it's this never-ending I'll pray about it. So after 3 or 4 weeks of, hey, Eric, would you still interested in maybe doing worship? And I get the responses, I'll pray about it. Basically, I'm going to figure out he really doesn't want to do it. But this is just an example where we've come up with some of the millennial generation where, that's the perpetual I'll pray about it instead of giving a simple yes or no answer. Something that Eric should do would be like, hey, Eric, we'd like you to join the worship team. Very talented guy. Eric says, response should be, let me pray about that and I'll get back to you next Sunday. So you're putting a time frame on it. Pray about it during the week. I'll get back to you and let you know. Because this is a big commitment. When you get older and you're in a job, your boss may come up to you and say, hey, we really like what you're doing. You're doing a great job. We're going to give you a promotion if you'd like it. But it's going to maybe, be a lot more traveling. And you got a family. So you need to pray about that, Tell your boss, let me think about it for a day or two. I'll get back to you if you can. I'm sure there's going to be, a very small time limit on that. But that might be something you want to pray about. Something else you might want to pray about is if you're going to ask someone to marry you. You definitely need to be praying a lot about that because who you marry is the second most important relationship you're going to have in your life. Your first important relationship is your relationship with Christ. So you better be praying about something like that. But when it comes to kind of interpersonal things, it just doesn't really make sense. I mean, everybody kind of chuckled when I did that because it sounds kind of silly. But there is times where you're going to have to make a commitment and you should be praying about it. especially like in a ministry situation where here in high school, you know, it's a year, school year commitment. So you need to make sure that you can do it for the school year and be praying about it. And I think it shows people, too, when you have that kind of an attitude where you're going to seek God's wisdom and guidance on something like that, that it really shows that you're carefully going to really consider the commitment as well. You're really going to think about it, and you're really going to pray about it and make a careful decision. One of the things we're talking about here, though, when you make a commitment, especially like in a ministry situation or maybe even a project situation at work or school, is that we're not looking for perfection. No one's going to, if you're in a long-term commitment, say like a ministry or a project at school, there's going to be times where you may not be able to make a meeting or a practice, you know, because, or a Sunday, because maybe you're sick. You know, if you're sick, I don't even want you here because I don't want to catch it and I don't want to get it spread to everybody else. You should be home in bed getting rest and getting over it. But that happens. How about family stuff? You know, Art's not here this morning. Him and his family are going out of town. You know, he's got family commitments too. You know, those come up. Work. I know there's been a couple of times where on Friday nights where Eric and Art and I get together to do worship, and at the last minute, I got to stay at work. I can't tell my boss, sorry, I got to go to worship practice. I got to stay and fix the problem. Cost the company tens of thousands of dollars an hour if I don't fix it. So, you know, I'm not going to be able to make it. So there is certain things that are kind of out of our control that we are not going to perfectly be in that kind of a long-term commitment, say like a ministry or a band situation or a group project. But it's this consistency. It's more of a consistent thing. Now, one of the things I think is really cool, too, is Jesus didn't say, let your yes be yes. He didn't say, well, we just got to say yes to everything. He actually, both James and Jesus said that we could say what? No. You know, we think that we have to just say, sometimes we feel like we have to say yes to everything for every need, especially within the church. And, you know, that can be difficult to do when you get yourself stretched too thin with too many commitments. Then you can't really do well in any of them. But one of the things that's cool is there's a power in just a simple no. And, you know, once we say no to something and we tell somebody no, we do it in a very gracious and respectful manner. One of the things is, though, we don't have to really justify a no answer. Might be something different between Eric and I because we're close friends. We work, you know, ministry together. If Eric would say, hey, you know, when I ask him about joining the worship team, he may say, you know, I prayed about it this week, and, you know, right now is just not a good time. I would be, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, but when you feel like it's, you know, it might be a good time for you to do it, just let me know, you know. He doesn't have to explain why. When you do that, some people kind of throw a fit. Has anybody ever had that happen where somebody asks you to do something and you're like, no, I can't just do that right now, or... And they kind of throw a fit, and they get mad, or they may try to manipulate you. And unfortunately, this happens in the church in general. I'm not just saying here, but in the church in general. So how can people kind of manipulate you or throw this fit when you tell them no? Well, let's look at it like in a church situation here, like a ministry situation. So I tell Eric, hey, Eric, you're a talented guy, can play multiple instruments. We'd like to have you on the worship team. Eric says, you know, I go, but it's for the school year. So it's going to be from August to June. You got to do it. Eric comes back next week and says, you know, I prayed about it, but now it's just not really a good time for me. Now he's going to try to justify his no. He's like, you know, I got school going on. I got work. I just can't get this extra, you know, commitment on my shoulders right now. And I'm like, Eric, if you don't do this, souls are going to be lost on Sunday. I've actually heard people say that to me at times. People are going to, you know, aren't going to be saved. Or, you know, Eric, if you just love God more, you would do this. Or you just don't have enough faith. if you had enough faith, you'd be part of the worship team. You can see where people start to manipulate you. Non-believer, somebody who's an unbeliever, could be a family or, you know, member or friend, may say, well, if you do this for me, I might consider Jesus. That is a form of manipulating you. Or they may try to bargain with you. This is my favorite. So Eric, as an example here, says, you know, right now it's just not a good time. He starts to justify his no. You know, I got school and work, and it's just, you know, going to be too much for me right now. And I'm like, dude, how about 2 Sundays a month? One? Can you do one? One or 2 Sundays a month? You know, so then the bargaining process starts to happen. Again, it's just another form of manipulating you when it's something that you really can't do, or maybe you're not led to do if you, you know, are very prayerful about it. But again, when we say no to people, we need to do it with love, confidence, right? Compassion and respect. And I think also, remember, I think some of us have this thing where we feel like we got to say yes to everything because there's all these needs. And we have to remember, too, is when you say no to something, you're actually saying yes to something else. Because when you think it's something that you ought to do, or you feel like, you know, I'm guilt-tripped to kind of do this because I feel guilty if I don't, I think you're going to miss God's opportunity here, because you might be robbing someone else who really wants to do that. When you make a commitment, especially to a ministry, you know, you have to want to be there. You want to have joy in doing this commitment. If you just come in because you feel guilty if you don't do it, that's not the right reason to do it. But there might be somebody else out there that has that maybe fire to do that ministry, the fire to, you know, Eric says, you know, right now is not a good time. But maybe DJ is like, hey, I'd like to, you know, I really feel led to be up in the, you know, helping out with the high school worship. You know, so it gives somebody else an opportunity to come up. So what is Jesus and James telling us here? They're telling us really to simply be honest. And if we're honest, a simple yes and no will be sufficient. You know, especially as believers, we are to be totally above board and honest in what we say and do. Because we don't represent ourselves anymore. We represent Jesus. And because of that, our words and our actions and our character should speak for themselves. And what Jesus and James really identify the problem as is it's really a issue of personal integrity. So if you tend to be somebody who kind of is like that, someone who kind of, you know, breaks their commitments or their promises for whatever reason, the Bible tells us that we are to do what? We are to change the attitude of our mind and not be conformed to this world. So that when you say yes and when you say no, people know that it's the truth and that you're going to do it. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Then we got about 20 minutes that we can do some fellowship. And if you guys want to do some basketball, you can do that too. So, Father God, just thank you for this morning. I just thank you that, Lord, that we can be your representatives, not because of all these great things that we can do for you, but it's all the great things that you do for us. And, Lord, as we go out today, just pray that, Lord, we have that personal integrity, that our yes be yes and our no be no. And, Lord, when we do that, the world will see that there's something different about us, and that they will start asking more questions and give us an opportunity to share your love, God, to those around us. And I lift this up in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.